This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are live in Austin, Texas, ready to talk about some motorsports tonight. This is John Massengill, and sitting in the studio with Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. How's it going, boys?
Good.
Oh, yeah. Doing good. I'm ready for some motorsports, you know?
Well, we are about to talk to what we call the hardest working man in motorsports, Connor Daly. We're going to talk some Formula One. MotoGP was racing today. And we got some other stories we're going to touch on, a little W Series. But I think... We do. Producer says we have Connor Daly on the phone. Yay. Connor Daly, welcome back to Speed City.
Thank you, guys. How are you?
Good.
We're doing great.
Good.
How are you?
Not too bad. Weekend off. Very rare.
I was going to say, I didn't see you anywhere listed on the grid or anywhere. What did you get into this weekend?
Well, actually, I was racing go-karts at IMS. So we had a... USAC had a go-kart race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and my little brother was racing there. So I showed up on Friday, and thanks to the Margay go-kart chassis guys, they pulled a cart off the show stand and threw me in it. So I got talked into racing a go-kart.
That's like your entire career. Your entire career. Somebody pulls an extra car, and there's Connor Daly standing there, and they give it to him.
Yeah, but how
very
cool is
that? Similar to my entire life.
How's Junior? How good is he?
Well, I honestly didn't even show up till halfway through the first practice day and qualified second out of 62. So I was like, all right, here we go. I guess I got to race now.
Oh, yeah. And what about your brother? How did he go?
My little brother, he just started racing. So he's just getting into it, trying to help him out a little bit. He knows that it's probably not a career thing, and he's just doing it for fun right now, which I respect because it is a very difficult career, and I think he's seen that for me. But you know what? He's having a good time, and that's all that matters for the family right now.
Well, talking of your career, this season must be a little bit more satisfying than some of the previous because we've had you on the show a bunch of times, and it always has been, you know, feast or famine. And I think this year you are getting some good seat time, and you're proving why you deserve that seat time. How are you enjoying 2019?
Honestly, man, it's been a great year. I can't complain. We've had strong finishes all year long. I've raced a lot of random stuff. You know, started out the year in the American Endurance Racing Series. We won two races in a row, then won the next race in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo Series. We haven't finished lower than 11th all year long in anything, any series that we've been in. So we've had, you know, six races in the top five, whether it's sports cars, and then obviously in IndyCar, we haven't finished lower than 11th. So it's been a good year. It's been obviously a very diverse and interesting year. But this is how my career has gone, and I'm still going to be the guy that will drive anything at any time. And obviously we've shown that as soon as, you know, the Indy 500 went really well, but Carlin needed a driver 2 weeks later. And, you know, I was obviously able to step in. So it's been weird. It's been interesting, but typical of my life, I guess.
You know, Connor, I was reading something on the IndyCar website a little while ago, and it says, he was talking about you when you raced with Carlin in IndyCar. It says, Daly hopped into the 59 Gallagher Carlin Chevrolet and, despite limited track time with the team before the race, put in a solid performance and netted nearly a top 10, the 11 you're talking about. And I highlighted that despite limited track time with the team because I feel like that's like a clause on every one of your stories about you. But what I don't get is that everybody sees that, right? It's like, he does great despite this. He does great despite this. It's hard to believe that somebody doesn't put you full-time in something at a high level like IndyCar.
Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, it's just hard. I mean, it, it's one of those things that I think the whole month of May with Andretti is what I wanted to prove, right? We were able to work with a good team, a top-of-the-line team, some of the best people in the sport, people that I really appreciate and guys that I'll never forget working with. And, you know, we did the fastest lap of the entire month. We qualified, you know, 11th out of an incredible field of drivers, you know, right in the same row as Marco Andretti and Helio Castroneves. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and we ran out for an all day. So it's one of those things that, you know, we were the best one-off guy. We were, you know, I feel like I'm doing my job, but it's still one of those sports that is so difficult, and you got to be the right place, the right time, the right situation. Mm-hmm. I do feel like I'm not upset right now. Like I do feel good about what we've done this year, and I can't complain at all. And I'm not upset about where I am. But all I'm looking forward to is 2020. Whether or not I do more IndyCar races this year or not doesn't really matter. I mean, it would be great, but like, I'm here to try and be a full-time competitor and compete for championships and try and race wins. And that's the goal. But it's certainly been a very difficult road. And did we move the needle with Indy? I don't know. I think so. But it's really hard to say until we get into sort of, you know, late August and September when people are really starting to think about next year. And realistically, I only want to be with, you know, an Andretti team or a team that can really fight for, you know, for the front of the grid, because I've already done the back of the grid. I've already done the small teams. I've done that. And it's just, you know, whether or not we finish on the podium or lead laps, it doesn't matter to these big teams. So it's an interesting spot to be in, but I do really feel satisfied with what at least I've been able to do as a driver this year. And we just got to keep working on everything on the side to try and, you know, put all the pieces of the puzzle together.
Well, it is fun to watch your career. I mean, you seem to always have a good time with it. I love to follow you on social and Twitter and everything. And in fact, today I was following you on Twitter and I was looking around and something reminded me that you were a bit of a gamer. And so I jumped on Twitch. And I saw.
Explain what that is.
Twitch is just what you when you're playing on Xbox or PC game, you can stream your game to Twitch, and then Twitch is kind of like YouTube. You stream it live, and then it leaves it up there. And Connor, if you don't mind, I've got a little clip I want to play of one of your Twitch races. Would that be all right?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's play this. Let's play this clip real quick, and we'll talk about it.
Oh man, the wet is brutal.
That is no good.
Of course, you're destroying everyone.
Just try to catch. this worked out really well because it's front-wheel drive, so it's not overly powerful.
Yeah.
It breaks. Oh no.
It's like monsoon.
Yeah, this is red flag conditions.
Oh, here's me going straight into the wall again. Yep. This is when I get trolled on the internet, like, useless at Forza.
I love his own commentary. Yeah. I love that.
Well, what I like about it is that Connor, it looks like, Connor, correct me if I'm wrong, is you play with anybody that'll join in and invite him to play?
That's a really interesting clip that you chose there. Because even I get Alex Rossi, Spencer Piggott, Colton Herta, they all play with me. And there are a couple other ones that I was hoping you were going to play. There's a lot of really entertaining stuff there. But that was one of the more subtle clips that you could pick. But yeah, I mean, it's fun, man. I mean, honestly, you got to be a diverse brand these days, right?
Like,
you got to be everything you can be, and what are millennials and what are younger people doing right now? They're playing video games, and what are we seeing most right now in motorsport is the embracing of esports, I guess.
Yep, you know what
I
mean?
Fernando Alonso has got a huge presence in esports. I mean, McLaren does. All the Formula One teams have a Formula One esports team, and so does NASCAR. And so that's a huge area for sort of getting those younger people to be engaged with our sport again. And I am trying to do that because IndyCar is the only racing series right now without an official esports league. And you know, I've honestly convinced guys around me, like I play fours and seven all the time, and I convince, you know, I'm sitting with Alex Rossi, you know, right now, and like we play fours all the time, and like we'll go out there and do it. So why not broadcast it to our fan base and get people engaged and play with some of our fans? Because honestly, some of that stuff is some of the most rewarding experiences for our fans. And I've the amount of people that have come up to me at the track during the month of May, like, hey, I tuned into your Twitch streams, or hey, like I played fours with you once. It's like, that's cool for everyone, right?
And it's, no kidding.
It's, yeah. With our level of technology right now, we got to be able to embrace that and sort of evolve with our, you know, with our fan base, because if we want to embrace that younger generation and continue to gain fans, we got to look towards the millennials. We got to look towards younger people. So I'm certainly working at it. I think I'm the only one doing it, but if I can do it, you know, then I'll try my best.
Well, now, I know you're not really talking to me in this, but now I'm getting interested. I may have to, you know.
Well, this is exactly why I wanted you to do this, Connor, because we've been following all the esports that Formula One's doing. And, you know, like Jan Maldenborough, who went through that entire series of online gaming and got a ride,
yep,
got a drive.
But it is
where you're doing exactly right. And in my notes, I wrote down that while you were inviting all these guys to play, you said, hold on, let me see if Alex can play. And I think you either texted him or whatever and said he couldn't play right now. And I was thinking that is really smart to get people engaged. I mean, that the off chance they might stumble across you guys playing and be able to get to play. And by the way, my son's a huge gamer.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, I'm watching you, and I'm going, he's playing this with a controller. No wonder he hit the wall. You need pedals and a wheel, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, what is your go-to?
He's just got a controller,
oh,
man.
He's just got a controller. His son has just got me set up with a computer, but I haven't gone into the Fanatec and all that sort of stuff yet. So have you got any ideas on what I should get?
I'm not a controller.
No, honestly, I mean, I'm an ambassador for an esports team called Lazarus right now.
Okay.
And the professional gamers, they use controllers because the input on the controllers is faster than the steering wheel. So the only time you use a steering wheel is on the ovals because you can be more precise. So it's really interesting that you said that, because it's like, oh man, I think we need a steering wheel. But honestly, the professional guys that we play with are playing with controllers.
Interesting.
So it's really interesting, but I love playing with those guys, right? Because it's like the professional gamers and then us. Like the professional gamers, like they destroy me, Alex and Spencer and Colton Herta. And like we think we're okay, but then we get absolutely destroyed by these guys. But that's the fun part about it, right? Like who would have thought that we actually have normal lives just like everyone else, right? Like what are we doing on a Wednesday night? Well, we might play Xbox. Who knows? Yeah. Like we've done our work for the day. We've been out training. Like we are normal people just like everyone else. And that's what I think. I really enjoy sharing with, you know, with our fan base and with people. It's like, we will absolutely go head to head with you on an Xbox game, because guess what? Like, we're normal people just like you. We want to have fun. We want to have a good time. We want to embrace, you know, we want to play racing games. We want to play even get any game, you know what I mean? And that's what I like to bring to our fan base.
That's it. The Speed City Challenge. Race Connor daily on Twitch.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know this, and certainly Alex does. I mean, you know, I was with Esteban Gutierrez in Sonoma a few weeks ago, and he is the sort of simulator driver now for Mercedes. And, you know, we were talking about the value of simulator work. And, I mean, you know, just on a serious level, and your professional, you know, in your professional life too, any work you can get, especially when there's new circuits and so on and so forth, like when you came to Kodo and so on, you know, the games are so good now that you can actually learn something from playing them.
Absolutely. I mean, we're in an incredible era of technology right now. And I mean, I spent 2 years as Force India's simulator driver. I developed their simulator program from the ground up. And you know, we spent a lot of time at McLaren and, you know, long nights at the simulator, because what we were trying to do was going to be on the real car, you know, in 2 weeks' time. So, you know, I've been a part of that, and I know what that's like. And obviously Esteban is part of that program as well with Mercedes, which is awesome. And you're exactly right. The technology right now in our sport is so far advanced, and it is always improving, that because it costs so much to put a car on the track for one day, you know, they're trying to figure out how can we put a car in a virtual world more often and potentially, you know, substitute that with, you know, with what we're doing on the simulator. So it's a really interesting program to be a part of, for sure.
And you talk about it is an interesting time in technology, because you have all sorts of other games that kids can play, whether it's you know, NFL or whatever, but none of them come anywhere near as close to simulating actually getting behind the wheel or you know, because there's no way you can simulate football or basketball the same way. But it's like I was saying with Jan Mullenbrough, and they should do other ones like this where you compete to maybe get into the Mazda Road to Indy or something, or get into Formula 3 or Formula 4, is to compete online, because those guys are I think multiples have proven if they're that good on simulators, they're gonna it's gonna translate to a car to some degree at least.
Well, now that you've said that, though, I haven't seen one of those simulator guys really make it yet. I know Jan Hardbrough, and I've seen him drive, and I know. You know, I know those guys. I truly don't think for at least the next 5 to 10 years, we won't see a pure simulator driver be transformed into a real road racer because what we do takes so much refinement, right? Like we start at age 10, right? And if you start at age 10 in a simulator, I don't, that's not the same as feeling the road and feeling the G-forces and feeling everything that a driver feels, you know what I mean? So I don't know if we're there yet, but as technology advances, perhaps that could be a possibility. But I think for now, there are very impressive simulator drivers that are actually making money in the simulator world and potentially making more money than an IndyCar. But, you know, I do think that, you know, we're not there yet, but at some point, I think there will be a big push for a real high quality simulator driver to get a, you know, to get some sort of road to Indy drive or F3, F2, whatever that is.
I think how much money some of these guys can make as YouTube or I'm certain Twitch can be monetized as well. So maybe they
just stay on that.
Please.
Well, and the biggest thing is obviously yes, you could be a fantastic simulator pilot or driver or whatever you want to be, but you're not taking any risk at that point. And I think to be, you know, you take a guy that's done 10 years of that and throw him into the month of May. Good luck, my friend, because that's a whole different ballgame. To do it for real versus to do it when, oh, I hit the wall, like you said in your little Twitch thing. It's like, nah. You guys take, you are prepared to put your lives on the line. And I think that's what the difference is between people like myself who talk about it and people who actually do it, is that we're not prepared to do that. And I think that is one thing that will never change out of the simulator. Yes, you will find a rare guy that is capable and has that cojones to do it, but I don't think it's going to be rare.
No, you're right. I mean, Indy right now takes absolute maximum commitment. I mean, honestly, I don't see anyone. I mean, it's hard to think of a human off the street could mentally commit to what we're trying to do out there. I mean, it is, you know, this year more than ever. Obviously, this year I actually had a good car, so it was something that when you're going out to qualify, you're going out to try and, you know, make the fast nine and be, you know, that upper echelon of driver. And it is very much risking your life. It is very much putting your life on the line. And when you're in a simulator in your basement, you're not doing that. You know what I mean? And this is something where, you know, it's 90 degrees out, the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour. You're not really sure what it's doing, but you got to go out there and you have to put your foot down and you have to absolutely drive at the absolute limit of your human life. So I don't think that we're there yet on the simulator side, but I certainly did feel more so than ever this year what it's like to try and fight for, you know, the fast nine and being a part of that upper echelon of the Indy 500, you know, qualifying group. And that is something that I really think is, you know, it's for the very few people that are, you know, that are out there in our sport.
Well, Connor, we just got like a minute or so left. I got to ask you about the IndyCar season. Your buddy Alex Rossi's kicking butt. But what about this season so far? What do you think?
It's been awesome, man. I honestly think Alex is going to win the championship. Bet all your money on it. The guy's going to probably win the next three races. I mean, he is sitting pretty near me right now.
He's clearly buying you dinner then, right?
He is buying dinner. We're about to head there now. But I honestly think the Andretti Autosport team is in a great spot. Joseph is doing an incredible job. The season has been so competitive. Yeah. And honestly, I might end up in at least a few more races this year, but, but as a fan myself, I do enjoy what we're seeing. And I think that will it go down to the last race? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be a Newgarden Rossi battle. And I think America and racing in general, are going to really enjoy that fight. And I'm excited to see what happens for it.
I mean, that really is the ultimate. Two young Americans going for. I know we've had that in previous seasons, but you had Dixon in and all else. But like you say, two guys that, I mean, either one, you know, there's a lot of fans following both guys. Rossi's had his success. Joseph's had his already. But a head-to-head fight for the last race, awesome.
Yeah, and honestly, Alex is in a contract year, right? So he wants to make that money. So
yeah, show me the money.
Wanting to win the championship, but he's about to, you know, he's about to get paid in a big way. So
he
knows what he wants to do. Yeah, and he should. I agree. The guy's, you know, he needs to pay for my dinner tonight. So he's got to pay big money for next year.
There you go.
Hey, Connor, thanks a lot for coming on. I know you guys had some other plans. I really appreciate you jumping on the call with us. And, hey, best of luck for the rest of the season. Of course, we'll be watching all your channels, including Twitch and Twitter and InstaFace and whatever else you got.
InstaFace.
I appreciate it, guys. Maybe I'll be in another IndyCar race soon.
Cool. We look forward to it.
Thanks, Connor.
Take care.
Talk to you soon.
All right, see you guys.
All right, let's go straight to a break. We went long on that one. You're listening to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas, and we'll be back after these short messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built, Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin, online at DucatiAustin.com.
Hey beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
Talk 1370.
Hey, I'm Tanner Faust, one of the hosts of Top Gear, and thanks for listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. During the break, we had a spot from Sellis Brewery here in Austin, and you've probably seen some news in about their financial troubles, but they have done some reorganization, and they're still open. We had Jonathan was over there on a soccer show this morning. We were watching the America's Women's Cup win that awesome. Yeah, it was pretty dominating, by the way. I don't watch a lot of soccer, but I was like, they spent most of the match in the nether regions side of the field, or Netherlands side of the field.
Not in the nether regions. how much soccer have you watched?
Anyway, Sellis Brewery.
Freudian slip. Sellis Brewery is open for business.
Exactly.
Hey, and we will be
clearly
back.
John's mind is too.
He could probably use a beer about now.
He could.
Hey, yeah, and we'll be back out there on the 24th for our Beers and Gears, and that is a red, white, and blue patriotic month, and we're lining up.
So anything red, white, or blue? Any car red, white, or blue?
That's red, white, blue, American.
That's come pretty much. You're almost covering virtually any car. That's
so,
how I like that.
Easy.
So I could bring my Herbie then, because that's white with 53 on.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's got red seats.
Is that a reference back to Alexander Rossi's nickname?
That's true.
Man, you know, he was talking about Alex. And by the way, we're going to talk a bunch of Formula One here in a bit, and we're going to talk some MotoGP. But we've got some clips from Kate Walker, because Jonathan had an interview with her, and she's an amazing Formula One journalist. She was been with us a couple times, like when she was in Monaco. So we're going to have those later in the show. But we got a couple other things I want to talk about too. Like in the W Series this weekend, American Sabre Cook, she finished highest that she's finished all year in 7th.
Oh, that's good.
And Shea Holbrook had a disaster, man. She was running around and she said something doesn't feel right in the tires, and it wasn't showing up on the telemetry, or they don't have pressure or telemetry. I don't know. And they drove her through the pits and said everything looks good. And then she went back out, and then she did have a puncture. So she did not have a great race this weekend. But Martia, I forgot her last name in W Series. She had a great weekend and dominated, kind of like has been happened a couple times. So it's really heating up that series.
Marta Garcia.
Yeah, Marta Garcia.
And Jamie Chadwick.
Yeah, and Jamie Chadwick had a great opening to the season. So it's been a good season if you haven't watched it.
Yeah, she's leading the championship as Jamie. She's the Great Britain. And she's already got a factory drive with Aston Martin. Which is pretty impressive. I think this is working for these girls. They're getting the exposure that we want, and the TV's everything. You know, you know.
Hey, also want to talk about Pato O'Ward. I think we touched on it on our Formula One pre or post race show last weekend. But you know, he's now racing in Super Formula in Japan, and I was going. I'm not clear on that as far as the series. I was thinking, and I started doing some research, and it looks like. It's sort of a spec series, and Jonathan, you know about it. Is it like the second fastest series behind Formula One?
Pretty much
faster than IndyCar or similar.
It's similar, actually. Yeah, I mean, it is Japan's form of Formula One, if you will. It used to be Formula Nippon, and it's actually sired some great drivers in the past, including the likes of Eddie Irvine back in his day. More recently, Stoffel Van Dorn came from there, and there's still Kaiki Kovalainen. In it at the moment. Nick Cassidy from the Toyota Racing Series has done it. And more importantly, to get mentioned Pato O'Ward, this has come so quickly for him. Yeah. He, of course, is Patricia O'Ward, he's known as an IndyCar driver at the moment because he was the Indy Lights champion or runner-up, I think.
Runner-up.
And to Colton, and they were teammates. He then kind of moved around a little bit, got an opportunity to get into the Red Bull program, join the Red Bull program. They fired Dan Ticktum, who had won Macau twice in a row, so that's how I know him. He got the Red Bull drive with Lucas Auer in Japan. Lucas is firing on all cylinders, has been getting podiums, and Dan has not. And so they got rid of him. And, you know, typical Red Bull. If you ain't performing, they got rid of him. So they got rid of him, and they've now replaced him with Patricio O'Ward.
Who lives, I know he's from Mexico, but he lives in San Antonio right down the road.
Exactly, but he's learning Japanese.
Yeah. A couple other stories. Les, you had one about Daniel Ricciardo. I saw that in your notes.
There are some interesting things going on. And, you know, this early, it is really just rumors. But rumor has it that there is interest from Ferrari in Daniel Ricciardo. And that Valtteri Bottas is also on Ferrari's wish list.
You know, that is a long-going story. Ricciardo has been on Ferrari's wish list for a while for a couple of reasons. He is, if you like, by ancestry an Italian with a name like Daniel
Ricciardo.
He's also been very connected. He's got his own car company. I think they're based in Italy.
Yeah, the cart.
Yes, he's never shied away from saying he would one day love to race for Ferrari. So, yeah, watch this space. But that was one of the subjects I talked to Kate about, which was the silly season is almost getting underway now, simply because you've got the likes of Ocon on the sidelines and you've got, like you say, rumors starting.
Let's do that. Let's go ahead and play the clip you did with Kate just a few minutes ago about the silly season.
Because poor Pierre Gasly, you know, for the last few races, he's also been surrounded by the same Brendan Hartley mutterings of how long is he going to last in his seat. I think that Red Bull are going to keep him until the end of the season because there's not really anybody to replace him with. There's a possibility of the Red Bull seat being open at the end of the year. Max's win last week was supposed to be a massive relief for the Red Bull team because apparently he could have broken his contract early if he hadn't won at least one race by the summer break. So there was a brief prospect of two Red Bull seats being up for grabs, and there are definitely not two drivers on the Red Bull Junior program at the moment.
How about Alonso to Haas instead of Grosjean, and Alonso gets to run part NASCAR with Haas and part Formula One.
So on the one hand, that sounds like a great idea. On the other hand, if Steiner doesn't like romance moaning on the radio, he is no way going to be able to cope with Fernando.
Okay, I bow to your superior knowledge. Absolutely correct. You're absolutely 100%. Correct. But it would be a good Netflix show.
Oh, it would be great. I, you know, yes, you have points, so you can have dinner, but you have to pay for it because you whinge too much.
So are you serious? I mean, okay, yes, Gasly's seat's been, but I mean, he was a question from Australia. Never mind, you know, now.
Yeah, he really has been. I think it's just because it's getting closer to the summer season. I mean, everybody wants to see Ocon back in a seat, not least Toto Wolff. He's been quite a sort of a lonely figure in the paddock. It's a bit not actually lonely. I mean, he's a lovely guy and he's friendly to people and very popular, but when you see somebody who you're used to seeing in a race suit wandering around in a team t-shirt and jeans, and they want to be wearing the Nomex, not the t-shirt. So, it's a bit sad, and hopefully, they will be able to sort him out for next season.
So who in your mind then has not been performing where they should be and therefore should be looking at their back, you know, in terms of, forget the team's ability, whether it be Williams or Ferrari. I mean, is there anybody you see as underperforming?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, interesting you should mention Williams. The Robert Kubica comeback story hasn't been the story that everybody hoped it would be. Yes, the car's terrible, but he's also consistently slower than Russell, which is unfortunate. The other one who's underperforming but doesn't need to watch his back for obvious reasons is a certain Lance Stroll. I think his seat is probably safer than Lewis's, really.
I've been joking all along that Mr. Stroll is a businessman, and if his son is performing, he'll take a business decision. But
The ironic thing is that I don't actually think Lance wants to be an F1 driver anyway. I mean, he seems to be doing it to make his dad happy. He's not got the fire in his belly or the passion for it. You can see it when you talk to him. You can see it in his performances, and he's perfectly capable, but he's just not excited by what he's doing. So, you know, the sooner he buggers off and does something that makes him excited, you know, leave the opportunity to somebody else and go and find yourself a better life.
You know, and I hate to say it because they're chalk and cheese, but I feel that way about Rosberg. I feel that Rosberg did it because he wanted to win a world title as his father did. And as soon as he got it against the best driver of his generation, he said, "That's me, I'm done."
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. He just wanted to prove a point to his dad, and that was it. You know, what you did, I could do it too. I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damon Hill did it. Jack Villeneuve did it.
Yeah.
And probably the one I would say was the most, and still is, the most interested in racing.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a passion for him. And with Damon, don't forget, whatever he felt about racing, he also felt a moral obligation to restore the family's fortunes, you know, because they lost so much money after the plane crash with all of the various lawsuits and bits of insurance and what have you, that his racing career was what kept his mum from penury as a widow. Wow. So, you know, that's certainly a driving force. It's just not a driving force anybody envies.
Wow. You know, that's funny she said that about Lance Stroll, because when I've seen him in the paddock, he came off to me as kind of a spoiled brat, but maybe he's just really not happy. This is not what his passion, you know.
I think there's a little bit of truth to that. He is, I mean, he's been driven this way. And I mean, I spent some time with him when he was, when he was a teenager back in New Zealand. And I think I got that sense too.
Let's go ahead and take a break.
There's a yard that needs mowing. Go home.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk MotoGP. We got Vito from Ducati Austin on the line. We're going to talk to him right after these messages.
When we see a beautiful car pass by, we always seem to use a hand signal. The classic thumbs up, the point and shoot six gun finger, the hang loose thumb and pinky combo. If you've ever flashed one of those, now there's a car club for you. Introducing the Hagerty Drivers Club, with exclusive members only events, insight on buying and selling, the Hagerty magazine, and roadside service, the Hagerty Drivers Club gives you a big thumbs up. So keep flashing those fingers.
Same to you!
Just not that one. Join the Hagerty Drivers Club at Hagerty.com today.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Hi, I'm Wayne Rainey, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. Our producer has no idea who Wayne Rainey is, probably, but it's perfect segue into the next...
And I will be working for Wayne Rainey next weekend,
that's right.
At Laguna Seca.
Moto America. All right, we're going to jump right to our guest because we have Vito from Ducati Austin. Vito, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, welcome, John. And is Les there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He is here.
Oh, yeah. All right. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing?
I got my Ducati shirt on.
Yeah.
All right. Me too.
Imagine that.
He always has one on, though. That counts.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Vito, I want to talk to you. We're going to talk a little MotoGP here in a minute. But you guys, we've talked about it a little bit, but I want you to talk about it because you got some big news for you and your company, and that is San Antonio. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So we acquired the San Antonio Ducati and Triumph dealership down in central San Antonio. We took them over about a month ago now.
Does that mean I get to ride a Triumph now as a Brit? Oh, awesome!
Yeah, it's a tough adjustment for me because I'm a diehard Ducatisti. But yeah, Jonathan, you can come over and drive a Triumph.
Ah, awesome!
Yeah, we're going to try to bring the same experience that we have at Ducati Austin down to San Antonio. It's called CTX Motorworks. We renamed it, rebranded it, and we've brought one of the best GMs I think we could find in the country.
I know that name.
One of the biggest dealerships and also has a lot of industry experience with Triumph and Ducati and a couple of the other major European and metric brands.
Cool.
That is awesome. And I know the guy you're talking about, Jamie, right? And he's got experience with Ducati, like he said, and Triumph. So that is amazing. And, you know, I don't want to trash the previous dealership, but I just know that you guys are going to do a fantastic job down there.
I've hung out with Jamie a bit, and I can say he fits the Ducati Austin family atmosphere, open, you know, come on in, check it out. Yeah, sit on it. Let's fire it up. That is Jamie all over. So great partner in this.
So that means we're going to have to do two barbecues now on MotoGP weekend.
we'll do two, but we'll probably have the big party down in Austin because, you know, we're the closest to the track. And we're just going to sort of expand the family down all the way down to San Antonio. So our goal is to, you know, make Central Texas, you know, Ducati and Triumph for everyone. And good family experience to everyone and premium service, you know, take care of everything.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that. Hey, Vito, we're up that sort of summer break now for MotoGP. What's your take on the season so far? It looks like he's going to run away with it, young Marquez. What, 10 now at Sachsenring?
Yeah, 10 wins, 10 podiums, and 10 poles.
Wow.
I'm a Ducatista, a Ducati fan, but the man is amazing, Marc Marquez. You can't take anything away from him.
Nope.
He rides incredible. He's where it's at right now. Everyone else is sort of fighting for second. Dovey's, as you know, Cal Crutchlow said it the other day, I think in one of his interviews, that maybe Dovey has lost his way a little bit. He's been struggling with the bike, and today wasn't a good day. They were 16.6 seconds behind Marquez. Petrucci and Dovey, they both finished, Petrucci actually was fourth and Dovey was fifth. But we're hoping that they bounce back after summer break. You know, Sachsenring has been a Marquez track for a long time. So we're hoping that they, you know, bounce back and in the next few races pull that gap back down.
Well, yeah, you can't be too upset. I think I was teasing you over text when you were trying to get you on the show. It's like, Yeah, I know you guys didn't have a great weekend, but you got Dovi in second and Petrucci in third for the in the championship standing. So, you know, you got to be pretty happy about that.
Yeah, no. Petrucci's been a, you know, I think for a lot of people he's been a surprise, but he was always consistent and did well, you know, with the bikes that he had because he was on an independent team. Then even in the past when he was on the, you know, even further back in the independent teams when he came into MotoGP, he's a bigger guy and he's, you know, he's sort of gotten to shape and conditioned. And this year he's trained hard with Dovi, you know, both physically and mentally to, you know, to come back up in MotoGP. And he's been a big surprise for a lot of people, but for the people that sort of knew him, I think he's, you know, he's sort of living to where his, you know, up to, you know, to his potential.
Well, it's been fun to watch him because I, like you described, I, of course, I've heard his name and I followed him a little bit, but it's just been a little surprising how well he's done. I was looking at the points a minute ago. I was like, wow, he's basically, what, 6 points behind Dovi. And, you know, I think of Dovi as one of the best in the sport right now. So, yeah. So what else is going on at the dealership? I mean, you guys, the news of San Antonio is huge, but what about bikes and stuff coming in?
This year the big thing has been the, you know, the Panigale R, which is what Alvaro Bautista, you know, won the first 14 races in World Superbike with. That was sort of the big announcement. Then there's the new Diavel, which has been pretty exciting. It's actually it's a pretty cool bike if you're you know, into the sort of the muscle cruiser kind of bike. It's been a blast. I've been riding it around a lot and I sort of love it. But the, you know, all the news has been around the Superbike, the V4s, and we're all excited because there's a group of us going. We're leaving actually Friday morning. We're going to World Superbike in Laguna Seca to watch the races, and on Monday actually ride too. The day after.
Well, hello. No, I will be there too.
He'll be on the microphone.
Hello. I mean, right, you know, hello. We need to talk.
Well, great. I'll be there. I'll be breaking in my brand new V4 myself. So maybe John can come on by.
All right. Sounds good to me. I'll bring me Triumph.
Well, Vito, what else? You guys, y'all still doing a regular bike night and track days occasionally?
Yeah. So bike night's the first Thursday of every month at Red's Porch in Breaker Lane. And our next track day is August 24th, 25th at COTA, of course. We do it in conjunction with Ride Smart. It's a good time. We have our own garages, and we bring out the whole crew. We have breakfast, lunch, and a little adult beverage at the end of the day, you know, to celebrate it all. So that's coming in August, and we're looking to do we're working with another company to do a special invitation only event mid September at COTA.
Ooh, awesome.
Hey, Vito, just go a little deeper into that. What do you need to be able to go to a track day? If somebody's tuning in and listening in, do they have to have their own bike or not?
Yeah, so you need to have your own bike. It doesn't need to be a super bike. I mean, in the Ducati family, if you had a Monster, a Diavel, a Multistrada, we have people go on every bike that we sell. So if you had, say, even a Triumph Bonneville, that would be a perfectly fine bike because it's really not about setting the fastest lap time. It's about learning how to ride your bike, learning how to be safer, more in control. So almost any bike will work. What you need to have is really just the proper gear. Right. And if you're in like a newer rider, you just need some leather pants and jacket that zip together, gloves, boots, a good full face helmet, that's less than 5 years old, preferably. And, because the track days are open to any rider that knows how to ride a bike, has some experience on the street. You don't have to be a track day pro. You don't have to be a racer. You don't have to be the guy that's like, you know, look like someone that's on MotoGP dragging your knees. And in fact, probably 80% of the guys and girls that go with us are new to track days.
That's great. Yeah, that's very cool.
And I've gone down there just to lurk and hang out in the garage. And it's a lot of fun. They're open and you get to meet owners and hear their experience in dealing with these bikes and how they got there. And quite honestly, a lot of them, I know you have had bikes shipped to you for these days. So
yeah,
that's way cool, I think.
Yeah, and really the nice thing about it, it's not a free-for-all. It's you're not going out there and just like riding around the track. Unless you're a very experienced rider, you're going to class riding with instructors, and then you're going back to class, and you're cycling through that the whole day long so that you're learning how to ride better, and you're learning, getting that instruction during that whole day, so you're not out there on your own trying to figure it all out. It's a really good environment. It's a safer environment than trying to do it on the street, trying to, you know, learn your limits on braking or acceleration or leaning. So it's a good time, and it's really, most people that do it, the only bad thing, it could become a little bit addictive when you start doing it. that's the only downside to the whole thing.
Yeah, wow. But Vito, I think you make the biggest point of all, which is people don't know what is underneath them, and that goes for car drivers as well as bike riders. They don't know the full force of how well these things can brake, how engine braking really does work, how your lean angle helps you, your position on the bike. All of these things you never think of doing on the road because you're dealing with 150 different things from traffic and everything else. Whereas on a track, you really can concentrate and almost set an objective, a goal for yourself and say, I want to do this and I want to get better at X, Y, and Z, my body position, how hard can I brake and so on and so forth. And I really do sort of encourage anybody who rides a bike to go out and do a track day.
Yeah, I mean, I've been riding since 1981. and I still learn stuff every day. And, one of my friends came out with me who we used to race together back in the 2000s. And, he said, my riding's better than it's ever been. And it's really because you go to the track and you work on things and you keep on practicing, trying, and learning. And it's a good environment to do it because on the street, you're trying to get somewhere. And on the track, you have that. They have the instruction and the safety of being on the track with everyone going the right direction, everyone doing sort of the same thing. It's just it's the right place and the good place to do it.
I bet you a lot of people do this. Fun is probably their number one, but when you're there, you're probably thinking, this is going to make me safer on the street because I've learned the limits of the bike.
100%.
Yeah. Well, Vito, thanks, buddy. Thanks for coming on. Congratulations on San Antonio. We had to get you on.
You
guys,
really good.
You've been sponsors from day one of Speed City. We had to get you on to talk about the San Antonio deal and get to the usual MotoGP insight. So thanks, Vito, for coming on. And we'll see you up at the shop sometime soon.
All right. I'll see you in Laguna Seca too, Jonathan.
Yeah. When are you getting there?
I'll be there Friday evening.
All right, cool. I'm getting in there Thursday night. So I'll see you Friday. I'll see you Saturday morning.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Thanks, Vito.
Travel safe.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go ahead and take a break and listen to Speed City. We're live in Austin. We're going to talk a little more Formula One after the break.
We spend an average of 8 hours and 41 minutes a day facing screens. Laptops, smartphones, tablets, even digital refrigerators. But what are we really connected to? Isn't it time you connected to something greater? Sometimes the best way to connect is to disconnect. This moment of escape was created by Hagerty for people who love cars.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built, Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin, online at DucatiAustin.com.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
From BBC F1, you are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, so has Alonso and McLaren parted ways or not? I think officially it looks like they have not. Because all these news outlets came out and said, oh, he's done. He's ends his partnership with McLaren.
I think they're like that reluctant high school couple that were sweethearts for so long.
He's trying to Gene Haas.
Yeah, and,
let's start that rumor.
Yeah. There you go.
He's doing a NASCAR, Indy 500, and Formula One program for Haas.
I wanted to come back to that because we had Vito on scheduled, but that would be awesome to have. I mean, nothing against Grosjean, but if Alonso wants to come and do Formula One and NASCAR, that'd be
There you go. I think that would be fun. That would be fun. That would be really interesting. But the short answer is he's still a brand ambassador for McLaren. And so, you know, it's whether he's going to be behind the wheel on a regular basis, you know, running under a green flag, I don't know.
Hey, don't count him out for a potential Formula One comeback with a top team. I mean, if Red Bull seriously are looking around to replace Gasly, the time would be now. But I don't think... not so
Do
sure
you think
Honda
that's where he would want to go?
No, not with Honda wouldn't have him.
Exactly.
So that's that. But he could. Yeah. Trouble is, he's burned a lot of bridges, as old Fernando.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's you got to figure he's still way up there on his level of skill. You
it
know?
Really would. I'll tell you what. If Bottas vacates the seat, now that I would love to see.
Oh man. That would be crazy.
Hey, speaking of big names in industry, I wanted to highlight one that we lost this week, Lee Iacocca.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with Lee Iacocca's history, really is phenomenal. I mean, most prominently back in the 60s, he was the father of the Mustang, if you will, the Ford Mustang. Did a lot of things. He actually is also the guy that kind of created that relationship between Ford and Carroll Shelby.
Yep.
And gave Carroll Shelby the first of the V8s that Ford came out with on that 260 and then the 289,
good call,
et cetera. Yeah. And so he's been there. He went to the Chrysler Corporation and resurrected
the
them
whole company.
Corporately, basically.
But he also invented a segment that is hugely popular because he invented the Chrysler minivan.
That's right.
I mean, and there was no minivan before he created that in Chrysler in about 1983 or two, somewhere right in there.
And I knew a guy, I used to deal with a man that knew him personally and just said the guy was, you know, just as good as they get. In fact, he was the one that pushed and paid for the restoration of the Statue of Liberty a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I didn't realize that.
And so he does things a little behind the curtain in a way that... he doesn't get credit for, but great man, great for the industry. Definitely looking forward to somebody else stepping up and taking shoes like that.
Hey, Jonathan, there's a couple of clips left that I want to try to grab one of these. We've got enough time for about one of those. Kate on 2021, you think?
I mean, by the way, just so you know, we did a whole podcast with Kate Walker, and we've got a full... 30 minutes with her, and
you bet. We'll have it out in the morning.
We'll have it out, and we're also looking at putting out some over the week, and we'll also hopefully speak to her again towards Silverstone, because we are at that halfway point. So all the subject matters were to do with the sport, the future, and so on and so forth.
Well, let's play this one, Kate on 2021.
Well, and that's a big question, because it's all down to, this is what they're still discussing and are going to present in October. I mean, the Ross Brawn and his team of engineers have proposed what they think it should be. The FIA is the outfit that eventually defines the technical regulation. But the teams have an input. I mean, they're looking at removing some of the fuel limits so that we don't really see fuel flow limiting the whole lift and coast that we've seen quite a lot over the last few years. They're talking about removing some of the limits to help that. They're also talking about generally simplifying it, removing a couple of the more complicated hybrid components, so that the barrier to entry, the cost to entry is lower, should other manufacturers wish to join the sport, but also so that it makes more sense to the average guy on the street, because what we have at the moment are incredibly complex beasts. We're looking at a simplified hybrid turbo is the most likely. And then they're talking about standardizing several parts, such as the battery as well, as part of the cost cutting.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, I'm really glad that Kate's on this, because I think this is going to be a subject matter that we're all going to want to talk more and more of, which is what's going to happen in 2021. It's so important to Liberty. It's so important to us, i.e. the fans. And it's also make or break in terms of where they go next.
You know, but I'm thinking about the technology, you know, like the MGUKs, MGU.
Right.
Those devices are so cool. And we don't, as far as I know, Les, I haven't seen a turbo unit that can be spun up by battery power. I mean, we've got some amazing vehicles right now with turbo lag removed, but engineering technology like that. But I know we're going electric, supposedly. I don't know how quickly that's going to happen, but I hate to see those technologies completely go away to get too simplified, because that's what I want in my Formula One. There's the age-old argument again. Do we want the very best racing all the time at the sacrifice of technology? I love my IndyCar, but it's not bleeding edge like Formula One.
Right.
So
exactly.
I mean, this is the struggle.
Well, and in the podcast we go into, we drill down a little bit into that, which is what is the answer? And there is no simple answer. But there is a need for the sport to be as good as any other sport. And India got it right now.
Here's what I think is missing. What is the purpose of Formula One? The objective. It's somebody saying make money. The other, is it to drive technology and improvements? Is it to rattle your chest when they go blasting down the straightaway in front of you?
What's your answer?
It's not mine to answer.
No, and I think that's where, I mean, Kate, you'll hear in the podcast, says that she thinks that the sport has lost its way. And I think that is the case. I think that, frankly, the technology now has got too involved, too high up, that we've lost the sporting sense.
The pendulum has swung a little far.
And we need to get back to the sport. Otherwise, you're just not going to have, it's not going to be legitimate. It's not going to be long lasting.
Yeah, we can't have too many races, you know. Last week's fantastic race, right? But we got to have more of those. There's been too many that have not.
But you can't have the French Grand Prix.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to wrap it up, guys. Hey, if you know, somebody tweeted us the other day, said, hey, I just listened to one of your podcasts. They said, I've been following you on social. Didn't even know you had a podcast. And they listened to the radio.
Oh,
all of our shows.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. All of our shows are up on iTunes, are up on Spotify, probably any other place.
Postface, Bookface.
Yeah, all those different places.
Twitter, Twiddle. So,
yeah,
Facebook.
And
tell your friends to check us out. All right, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Happy trails.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.